Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Brady.
Hour number three. This is Lock and Load, and joining us as he does from the confines of beautiful downtown Yuma, Arizona, is writer Dean Weingartner. Good afternoon, sir. Weingarten. Why did I do that?
You got it pretty close. I'll accept that.
Dean puts me in the neighborhood, doesn't he? Anyway.
Okay. Very good. I'm glad to be here, Bill.
Yes, sir. You have a very historical thing to look at here. This kind of thing interests me, not so much for what it is, but because of the way the various countries, once one of these things is found, the way they treat it.
Oh, that is fascinating, too. I agree. And we'll talk about that as part of this. Do you want to start with that, or do you want to start with something else?
Well, let's start with the European canon, because let's just talk about what they found.
Well, what we have is that just a little after 2000 and 2001, a private party who was scuba diving in the Atlantic Ocean, not very far off the west coast of Sweden, near a place called Marstrand, which was a prominent port and often a fort as well in earlier times, they found a cannon that was a copper alloy, and they probably didn't know exactly what it was to start with. I mean, you look at it, it's not quite what we consider a conventional shape for a cannon. It kind of looks like a narrow funnel, or, you know, you could even think, well, maybe this was some weird kind of bell or something. But it actually is an early cannon that was made in Europe and probably used in Europe. It had the remnants of a charge of gunpowder in it when it was found, essentially the cloth, remnants of the cloth bag that would have had the gunpowder in it. And it had a touch hole, so it's clearly a cannon. And the in European history, gunpowder instruments, cannon, guns, that type of thing, are mentioned starting around 1300. And we have an actual artifact, what they call a hand cannon, which was meant to be held by a single soldier, and then probably a hot piece of metal poked into the touch hole to set it off. One of those was found, and it was dated to somewhat before 1399. But this is equally as old. It may even be older, and it is not something that one person could reasonably carry. Just the metal parts of this cannon, which isn't huge, but it's pretty good size, probably weighed about 60 pounds. Now, that's based on the dimensions given and my estimate of the volume of the copper alloy involved. And it's a slightly more sophisticated cannon than the very earliest ones, but the metallurgy is not very suitable. It's a copper lead alloy, and that tends to develop cracks over time, and when you're firing gunpowder off in something, that's not a good thing. So the people who found the cannon, when they analyzed the metallurgy, said that they don't think it would have held up under intensive use. So it might have been good that the people with the cannon lost at this point, because we don't know for sure if it would have held together more than a few shots. So if, because it went in water, it was probably a shipwreck, and they lost track of where it was, and nobody recovered it. It was at a depth which is kind of at the far edge of which freediving can recover things, about 60 feet in cold North Atlantic waters.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I did a fair amount of freediving, you know, not scuba diving, earlier, and yeah, I could get down to 30, 35 feet without much trouble. And really trained divers, like in the Philippines or in warm waters, they've set records of getting down to like 150, 200 feet.
Yeah.
Free diving.
Yeah.
They take a heavy weight to help them come down, and then they come right back up after they get down to the maximum depth. And so they couldn't recover this cannon until this scuba diver found it. And it is the earliest actual cannon artifact that we have from Europe. I find it interesting because the Chinese used gunpowder earlier than this, but not a tremendous amount earlier than this. I would say maybe a century. And even then, the cannon that they had back in 1200 to 1300 were pretty rudimentary. Some of them were used bamboo. They probably started off as what they would call fire arrows. So it shows that the military technique or technology of gunpowder and guns traveled to Europe quite quickly. And the European, shortly after this, became the leader in development of guns and gunpowder. By the end of the 1400s, which is, you know, a good century and a half later, the Ottoman Empire would hire a European gun maker, to build huge cannon to overcome the city of Constantinople when that city was finally completely conquered by the Turks. Well, at that time, they would have been Turks, the Ottoman Empire. So Europe became the leader, and with their leadership in cannon and ships and navigation, they essentially conquered the world. It's not like the Chinese didn't have gunpowder before, but they gave up on worldwide navigation, and we have a little bit of reference that they built a fleet of ships, decided it was too dangerous for them to allow their citizens to go out where they weren't under direct control of the empire and burn their ships. At least that's what documents seem to imply.
Right.
And the Muslim Empire had lots of ships. They were a little smaller, equivalent to what we call the dhows today, used a different system of sails. And they also, it's not clear if they took the compass from the Chinese or we did, but the Europeans clearly used the compass far more effectively than just about any other seagoing people. And with the compass and the cannons, there was nobody in the world who could match them. Now, this particular cannon, like I said, was found by a private party. And then what happened is kind of interesting, because Sweden has a law that if you find anything which is copper, gold, or silver-based, and it's older than 1850, the government owns it and you don't.
I want to get into this in full. We're coming up on the end of this segment, so hold on for me. This is the really interesting part, because of what the governments in these various places do. I just found that interesting. I don't find it to be particularly controversial or anything, just interesting. Talking to Dean Weingarten, he's always revealing something. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. We'll be right back.
Innovations is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the weapons of WIC. Now featuring the new Pit Viper. Terran is the one who trained, the one, and he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins, spanning across decades, is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at TerranTactical.com.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
And welcome back. This is Lock and Load. I'm talking to Dean Weingarten. We're talking about a cannon they discovered. Which, the cannon that they discovered is in and of itself a very interesting artifact. But what's even more interesting is what some of these governments do when you go out and discover one of these artifacts. You're the one doing it. You're the one risking your life. You're the one pulling it to the surface or digging it out of the hill or whatever. What happens with these things? What happens when these people find these things, Dean?
Well, in Sweden, where this was found, the law was passed that says that anything with silver, bronze, or gold, any alloy, silver, copper, or gold, belongs to the state if it was created before 1850. Well, I find that 1850 cutoff rather interesting because after that we have all the modern major wars. So it's implied that if you find treasure after 1850, you get a cut or a share or own all of it. But in the United States, we have a very similar law that says that any treasure found on federal lands or on navigable water, any, at any time, if there isn't a owner that can be found for it, you know, like you could have a shipwreck and we know who the shipwreck belonged to, and then you find that could revert to the person if ownership could be established.
Right.
But other than that, all treasures belong to the United States and you don't get anything. And it's really a terrible law because people who find treasure or anything of value, that can be an artifact or is covered under this historical objects law, have no incentive to turn it over to the government or even make note that they found it. Because if they turn it over to the government or make known that they have it or found it, they lose it. And all their work goes for nothing. And one of the most egregious cases of this was when someone found one of the best preserved fossils of Tyrannosaurus rex. And they had permission from the owner of the property, at least they thought they did, to dig up the fossil and preserve it. It was a very valuable thing. Well, the federal government started looking at it and said, well, that's on an Indian reservation, and it's not really private property as we look at it. So we don't believe that agreement is valid, and they confiscated it after they put in thousands and thousands of hours of digging it up and recreating it and making it museum ready. What you have, particularly with fossils, are when a fossil comes to the surface, it's only available for a relatively short time, especially bone-type fossils, because they start to weather and erode and be destroyed. So it appears the federal government would rather have fossils that come to the surface be destroyed rather than allow private parties to own them. It's really a terrible, terrible law, and I like the British law, which I think would be a good example for the United States to follow. In the British law, if you find historical relics and they're valuable, you turn them over to a museum or other facility that wants them, and then they value them, and then you get half. So there's real incentive to let the public know that they are there and that you found them, because then you develop an ownership interest. If no museum wants them, and I think you can even end up with all the value as possible. But I've read of several historical finds of Roman coins, things like that in Britain, with the end result that the person who found them gets half the value. Much more reasonable law, in my opinion.
Right. So, here's a question, and I'm not advocating anybody should do this. What if I go out there and I were to find a copper alloy cannon, and I'm thinking to myself, this is cool, and I just manage to get it to my house, and I don't tell anybody about it, am I in big trouble?
That's a good question. I'm presuming you do it in the U.S.
Right.
And it's not that far off a possibility. There have been several reports of cannon that were probably brought with the conquistadors from Mexico into Arizona and Colorado and then abandoned or lost or captured by the Indians and misplaced somewhere or another. I mean, I'll be reading a story, for example, and talk about people hunting way in the back of beyond of the mountains of New Mexico or Arizona. And they come across a cannon, down in the bottom of some ravine or another, And it's big and heavy, and they don't have the facilities, and so they just leave it. And then they never were able to get back to figure out where it was before the days of GPS, I guess.
Right.
And so there's these rumors floating out there about Spanish cannons in, you know, somewhere in the back of beyond in Arizona, New Mexico. And if you found one, that's a really good question. Under the law, as it exists now, I think the federal government would claim ownership. Now, cannons like that would be really valuable because of the historicity. You know, you could, they're a historical artifact which could be traced right back to the earliest Europeans on the American continent, you know, the conquistadors. I don't know how much such a thing would be worth, but I'm sure it would be in the tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe more.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that could be a real problem.
And I guess it would really depend on whoever was the one who was going to get out there and try to value it. Like, I don't see anybody ever talking about megalodon teeth, which arguably are very old fossils, big, big shark teeth that are, you know, the size of your hand.
Right.
Why is that something that nobody's going after? But if I were to find a T-Rex bone, which is arguably as old, then I guess they'd be coming after me on that one.
You know, that's really a good question, because those, let's see, how do you pronounce it, megalodon?
Megalodon, the big teeth? Shark, yeah.
Yeah, huge. I mean, and the teeth are like, you know, they're like 4 inches across.
Yeah, the size of a plate.
Yeah. And so that's a good question. I think maybe because there are enough of them that they just don't bother going after them and they're common enough. I mean, it's just a guess. But I'll tell you a story. When I spent about 5 years down in Panama working for the Army down there. And under very special conditions, I mean, everything was just so. Basically, a hurricane was coming near to Panama, and it piled up the water on the Panamanian coast. So where otherwise you could not, you were just in kind of like wading water. It wasn't deep enough to swim in or to float on. With the hurricane piling up the water, it gained about a foot, maybe 2 foot of water in that area. Tides were very low. And so I went snorkeling out there and came across a Spanish cannon embedded in the coral.
Hang on right there. You can tell the rest of the story when we get back. These always take on a life of their own. This is the fun part of having Dean on the show. You never know where it's going to go. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
USA News Update. Kevin McCarthy refuting recent reports suggesting his intention to resign from Congress. Earlier today, news outlets had speculated that the California Republican was planning to step down following his removal as House Speaker. McCarthy clarified to reporters that those reports are untrue. President Biden is weighing in on the upcoming Speaker of the House election.
Whomever the House Speaker is, I'm going to try to work with. They control half the Congress. And I'm going to try to work with them.
Speaking from the White House, he urged Congress to swiftly return to work to secure funding for the government and prevent a shutdown. New England is preparing for a weekend of high winds, heavy rain, and potential flash flooding. Post-tropical cyclone Philippe is projected to bring 3 to 5 inches of rainfall to areas in New York, New England, and Southeast Canada by Sunday. John Schaefer, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Welcome back. We're talking to Dean Weingarten. When we left, when we last left you, he's snorkeling and he just found a cannon embedded in something. Yeah.
Yeah, cast iron for this one. A little later, probably from after 1650 or so, around that era. Right. I'm guessing just because of the way it was built and looked, and it was embedded in coral. It's amazing how fast coral can grow. But somebody else must have found it at some point, because you could see that they tried to dig it out, try to dig away the coral from the cannon, probably so they can get it out. But the problem is it's huge. So it's probably 6 foot long. It probably was a good foot across at the widest. I mean, that weighs tons. You really need heavy equipment to move something like that. And to get the heavy equipment out to where this was, you'd have to take it, into a foot or more of salt water on top of coral, right in the middle of a military installation. It's kind of hard to do that without being discovered. And the Panamanian laws on who owns these artifacts are pretty clear. The government owns them, and they're not going to like the idea of some private party carting away a historical Spanish cannon. So there's a good chance it'll get covered up by coral again and disappear beneath the coral. We'll see. Or we won't see, because I don't intend to go back down to Panama, even though I could pinpoint it within, I'd say, 30, 40 yards. I mean, I remember pretty close, and there were pretty distinct landmarks there. But I will admit that when I came back from Panama, somebody had given me some great shot, lead shot meant for being shot out of a cannon that they found in the waters off Fort San Lorenzo. I just a few. I mean, they're probably only worth a few pennies, but I thought it was historically interesting that they had them. And also, if you look at San Lorenzo, Fort San Lorenzo, which is at the mouth of the Chagres River,
right?
It's a perfect site for a fort, and it's got cliffs on three sides of it. Those cliffs are probably almost I'm going to guesstimate almost 100 feet. And at the base of those cliffs, you can see a number of Spanish cannon that were dumped there. I'm guessing that they were dumped there by Sir Henry Morgan's men when they conquered Fort San Lorenzo somewhere around 1635 or so. I might be off a bit on the dates. But so there's a lot of history down in Panama, and I was able to view a fair amount of it. And some of it involves muzzle-loading cannon and their use.
I was going to ask you regarding Chinese cannon. The bamboo cannon that the Chinese use, that was single use, right? They would use them and they'd blow up because it was bamboo.
I think they tried a variety of techniques. You know, some of what they did is they would wrap the bamboo with, you know, cord or rawhide or wire, and maybe they would get more than one shot from it. And it was very much an evolving process. I'm sure the earliest ones were just single use. I think they call them fired lances now that I have had my memory in gear a little longer.
Right.
And those gradually evolved into full-blown cannon. But the cannon, there's no question in my mind, looking at the history of this, that the Europeans, once they got gunpowder and cannon, developed the art of gunpowder and cannon far more rapidly than the Chinese ever did, or the Muslims either. I mean, both of these technologies almost certainly came to Europe through the Muslim empires of the time, and because they had contact with China through the route that would go through Suez and then to the Red Sea, you know, I guess Cairo, Red Sea, and then along the coast all the way to India. And so they probably got the technology from the Chinese or from the Silk Road. That's the other possibility, overland. And both of those went through the Muslim empires. And both India and I'm not sure China ever had the really huge cannon, but India and the Muslim empires and even the European empires had, as part of the evolution, enormous cannon. I mean, we're talking cannons with bores of like 2 to 3 feet that they used as siege engines to break down the walls of fortified cities and castles and such. And eventually, as cannon became more effective and they transitioned over to cast iron, those enormous engines, which could not be transported very far, they often were remelted and then recast in position. That those cannon, the more portable cannon, became the more effective and more used military weapon.
Yeah, that's just interesting. It's interesting the whole dynamic of artifacts and ownership. What is the rule in the United States? If we find an artifact, what happens? And if I'm off the coast of South Carolina and I find who knows what?
Yeah. If you find treasure, the U.S. is going to claim it as that they own it, unless the ownership can be traced. For example, and there have been a couple instances of this, they're Spanish treasure galleons that have been found off the Florida coast. And the Spanish government claims ownership. And the U.S. has backed them up. So even though people find gold treasure that's worth millions of dollars, and they put all the effort into finding it, the rule right now is that that probably belongs somebody else, and you may not even get a cut. So what a treasure hunter should and could do, if he can, is say, hey, I've got clues to where this treasure is of a Spanish galleon, and go to the Spanish government and say, before I put a lot of time and energy into this, I'd like you to guarantee that I get a cut. And by the way, when I was in Panama, there were plenty of rumors floating about. And the general consensus was, among people who I talked to, was that if you find treasure, you better grab as much as you can and skedaddle, because the Panamanian government is certainly going to grab everything, and they might even do something nasty to you in the process.
Do something nasty to you? What would they do?
Well, throw you in jail.
Charge you with diving?
For coming up with, if you say there was a lot of gold coins there.
Yeah.
One of the things they might say is, well, how much gold was there? Well, I don't know. I haven't counted. Yeah, right. We really believe you. Now, here, let's put you under this torture machine, and who were your buddies there, and who went where, and we want to track them all down just in case they pocketed some stuff. I wouldn't have a hard time believing that at all. Now, I think maybe the Tasmanian government has gotten better since then. There's been at least one regime change. But I knew people who routinely... No, that's not correct. I met a couple of people who would go out looking for artifacts in Panama on the Isthmus. They were essentially grave robbing, I would say. They'd look for graves, and often in a floodplain, these things, it's really hard to date them. And they would come up with stuff. One guy told me of finding some gold treasure. I mean, he didn't have anything. He just told me a story, whether it's true or not. It made a good story. And that when he found this gold treasure in a creek bed down near the Bay of Panama, which means that it's lost all dating possibilities.
Why?
What?
When you say it's lost all dating possibilities, why?
Because it's not in any strata anymore. It's not. There's no strata, and since it's gold, you can't date it by carbon.
Okay.
So it just tumbled down the creek bed for a ways, so you don't know where it came from or how deep it was buried or anything like that. And he said that he found this gold artifact, stuck it in a briefcase, and this was way before 9/11 and the way they started running everybody to metal detectors. Took it up to New York and put it in an auction house and sold it at an auction up there for a few thousand dollars.
Hang on for me one more time. We'll be right back talking to Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Last time on the firing line. This is Lock and Load, and we are speaking with Dean Weingarten, and let's go find out what's happened to young Gabriel Metcalf. Where is Gabriel today out of Billings, Montana? Where did he get to?
Well, I presume that he is at home and out of jail, specifically out of the Yellowstone County Detention Facility, where he'd been held in pre-trial detention without bail for a month. But then I believe his attorney, who is a federal defender, that's like a federal public defender, and his attorney's name is Russell Hart, and I've been impressed with him. When I learned that he was assigned to Gabriel's case, I did some research on him, and he appears to be a real up-and-comer. He argued a peripheral gun case. It was a sentence enhancement case before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, a three-judge panel, and he won the case. So he seems to be a very sharp attorney. And he was able to convince Judge Cavan that he should reopen the detention hearing for Gabriel Metcalf because new facts had come to light. And after they held the new detention hearing, Judge Cavan released Gabriel Metcalf on his own recognizance. It was a huge win for Russell Hart and Gabriel. And so they go back to he goes back to the cell, and they held him until everybody else at the courthouse was done, and then they take him back. And he's told by a guard, I think they call him CO, correctional officer, to pack up his stuff. And then to bring it to, like a gate or a door or something like that. He does that. He gets there, and he gives away some things that he accumulated in jail, the people that he'd met there. And he says, okay, what's going on? And then the guard says from across the how far away, oh, you're staying. There's a warrant for your arrest. And it turned out that it was a local warrant, apparently from about 3 years ago, and when Russell Hart was informed, and he understood that he could not do anything with this warrant because it's local. It wasn't a federal matter. So Gabriel ended up staying another day and a half or two in lockup while this is all sorted out. He goes before a local judge, and the local judge releases him on $2,500 bail with the requirement that he wear a GPS ankle monitor, which costs $75 administrative fee up front, and then $9.50 a day, so roughly $300 a month. Well, to some people, $300 a month isn't a lot of money, but if you're just scraping by, it's a lot of money. So that's where it sits. Gabriel is now at home. And so it's an enormous difference to be in jail or out of jail, whether you have an ankle monitor or not. And he will eventually be able to go to court. He pled not guilty to this apparently 3-year-old charge, which is odd in itself because the police in Billings were saying for weeks, we can't do anything to arrest this guy, you know, who's openly carrying a shotgun on his property because he's not breaking any laws. You'd think that if he had an open warrant out for his arrest, somebody would have noticed. But that warrant didn't come up until he was in prison, and I don't know. Well, that's incorrect. Jail and prison are not the same thing. Until he was incarcerated in the jail, and then they served the warrant to him a day and a half after he would have been released by Judge Cavan on his own recognizance. So there's a lot more that is going to happen on this. One of the things I found when I started researching this was that Billings, Montana, has a very bad reputation about public defenders. 2 years ago, they were 660 cases behind. In other words, 660 defendants had not been assigned a public defender in Billings, Montana. And a judge held the public defender system in contempt and fined them $10,000. That's 2 years ago. So we don't know how much better it might have gotten since then. But normally, if public defender would be assigned to somebody at an initial appearance, it's not required if the defendant is going to plead not guilty, because that doesn't really change any matters in the case. But if they would have wanted some type of plea deal or pleading guilty or something like that, it would have been required that they have representation. So now Gabriel Metcalf and his mother are looking to find some kind of representation, because who knows how long it might be before a public defender is assigned to them. And in the meantime, they have to pay $300 a month for this GPS monitor. Now, if you want to be, or if you are, cynical, you might say that this is more punishment by process, you know, that the Billings police looked real hard. We've got to find some way to keep Gabriel Metcalf under our control, because the federal judge just allowed him out on his own recognizance. I don't know what happened there, but the timing is a little bit suspicious.
Well, let me ask you a question, because I've been wondering about this. Now, we know what Gabriel and his mother have said. We've had Vivian on the show. She seems completely 100% genuine. But unless this police department is just absolutely corrupt, I mean, way corrupt, and if they were way corrupt, wouldn't we be hearing other anecdotal stuff about this? Wouldn't there be other people saying, yeah, that happened to me too. Yeah, that happened to me too. As far as their targeting.
Yeah, I have some contacts, some sources in Montana, and they hint at that. I haven't had individual instances come forward, but I have someone who had a very close girlfriend who grew up in Billings, and they indicated that the police were known to be kind of heavy-handed.
Right.
And then I have another well-known person who's expert in Montana firearms law, and they said the Billings police had a reputation as, I think the term they used was badge heavy. So it appears there is at least the possibility of, I guess I'd call it low-level corruption, you know, where police, I think I've heard this term used before, maybe you have had, that a crime is called contempt of cop.
Right.
Where, you know, if the police don't think that you are giving them sufficient respect, they will
arrest you.
Be a bit more heavy-handed than otherwise.
Yeah.
And it may be a combination of that. I'm looking into this and trying to get more information, and Gabriel's mother, Vivian, has put out a Give Send Go campaign, and I've included a link to that on my recent articles about the gun-free school zone law and Gabriel at AMLAN, so if people want to contribute to that. From what I can tell, and as you say, Vivian seems very genuine, they're just poor. I mean, I don't think they'd like to be considered poor. I mean, they do have their house.
Right.
But because of the ongoing, I would call it harassment, terror campaign, threats, whatever you want to call it, of the person that they had a protection order of protection against, which has gone on for almost 2 years, and because Vivian was sick for a couple of months with COVID and pneumonia, she's 71, and so Gabriel had to take care of her, and she couldn't work, and then they got into debt to just meet their basic bills, so they just really don't have any money. So she has put up this Give, Send, Go account, and that would be used to defend themselves, their house, and I would say defend the Constitution and the Second Amendment, because this gun-free school zone law, in my opinion, is clearly unconstitutional.
Well, we're going to have to leave it right there. We're going to have to leave it right there, last words, because we have run out of time. And once again, thank you for joining me all this weekend. I guess we'll be talking come Tuesday.
Yes, I expect so. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Pleasure is mine. I'll be back on Monday. And between now and then, you should remember this. It's never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It has been, and it's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com, or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.